Acts chapter 13, let's read a few verses together. Acts chapter 13. Someone asked me the other day, Pastor, why do you, when you have a guest speaker, why do you come down here and sit in the front? Because I come from a church and that never happens. The pastor stays up in the platform, the staff stays up there. And why do you do that? Why do you go down? And 99% of the time, I leave here and I go down there and I listen to whoever's preaching. And I do that for one reason and only one reason. And the reason is that it sort of forces me, reminds me that I'm here to listen and to learn and to hear the word of God. I'm just, if I'm up here, I'm a little distracted. I see Brother Remo and Mary Lou arguing. Brother Barry's falling asleep. It's not just the distraction. It's really, honestly, it's also the very idea that I'm just like you, and I need to be preached to and taught, and I come to church in those situations to hear the word of God. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about that. In fact, that question a couple weeks ago is what sort of spurred tonight's message. So Acts chapter 13, verse 26 says, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and the rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them," those same words, "in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher." Father, please help us tonight to be reminded of one of the premier reasons we even come to church. To be reminded, Father, that you have spoken and that you always desire to speak to the hearts that are open. Speak to us tonight to that end, and please, in Jesus' precious name, amen. I want you to look again at this text and notice the emphasis placed on three important words. Verse 27, for example, you see it says, "For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices." The first word you'll notice is the word voices. And then it goes on to say, "the voices of the prophets which are read." Read out loud, obviously, every Sabbath day. And then, of course, verse 29, "and when they had fulfilled all that was written." So you have the words voices, the word read, and the word written. So look at verse 27 again. "For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him." Now, think about this for a moment. The Apostle Paul says that the reason why the citizens and the religious rulers in Jerusalem, that crowd, rejected and condemned their own Messiah was that they did not hear the voices of the prophets every single Sabbath, Saturday. Now, that's not to say that the prophets were there every Saturday. They weren't there any Sabbath. It's not that the prophets were speaking. Elijah wasn't in there in Jerusalem speaking in the local synagogues and so on. But rather that they were simply being read by someone and to the people. Somebody stood up in church every Sabbath and read the word of God. But these men, these citizens of Jerusalem did not hear. They didn't hear the voices of the prophets. They didn't hear the word of God. They didn't hear the scriptures. And because they didn't hear it, and they should have been hearing it, they didn't know Christ, the Messiah. And because they didn't know him, they didn't recognize him when he appeared. That's what it says. You see, the whole key to what Paul is saying here is that because they did not hear the voices of the prophets simply being read every Sabbath day, therefore they condemned their own Messiah. That's weighty. You say, Pastor, I think I know what you're saying. You're saying they missed the prophecies and the promises of Christ because they weren't in church. That's what you're saying. Of course, that's not what I'm saying, because that's not what Paul was saying. In fact, Paul knew better than anybody else that these men, especially the rulers, were among the most religious and the most faithful to attend synagogue and the temple on the Sabbath days. In other words, For many of them, some of them, yes, but for many of them, it wasn't that they weren't there, they were there. But that rather, it's the fact that whether they were there or not, they still did not hear the voices of the prophets every single Sabbath. And by not hearing the voices of the prophets that are written down and being read, they didn't hear the voice of God, the will of God and the word of God for them. Look at verse 14, same chapter. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, "Men of Israel and you that fear God, give audience." You see, folks, the rulers were there. They were present. Many of the men of Israel, they were there. They heard the reading of the law and the prophets. The problem was they didn't listen to them, or as Paul says, they didn't hear the voices that were being read. Now that brings up, I think, an important question. How is it that so many people are around the voices of God and are near the voice of God, are close to the voice of God, but never seem to hear or follow those voices? You may remember the story of Elijah. I'm going to read it to you, but you know the story is very familiar in 1 Kings chapter 19. Listen to this carefully. He said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountain and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire," what does it say? Remember? "A still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?'" Now, wait a minute. It says a still small voice. A still small voice. I want you to hold your place in the book of Acts and turn to Isaiah chapter 30. Would you please? Isaiah chapter 30, I want you to take notice in particular at the voice of God. The voice of God in Isaiah chapter 30. And again, this is another familiar text. Isaiah 30, verse 20, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, 'This is the way, walk ye in it,' when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." Now hear me carefully, because we have just heard or read together two different passages in the Old Testament Word of God about how God speaks and spoke to His people. And of course, these were people who were either discouraged or disobedient. In the context here in Isaiah, God is speaking to His nation that had joined themselves to the Egyptians in disobedience to God. And in the text in 1 Kings that I read to you a moment ago, it was a very discouraged and a very dejected prophet who was completely wrong in his thinking, and God was speaking to him as well. These are two completely different texts. They both reveal how God, in His mercy, often acts and speaks to those who are His own. According to verse 21, God told the people of Israel that they would hear a word, quote, "from behind them." It's a reminder, beloved, that these people to whom God was speaking were not facing God. They weren't facing God because they had turned their backs on Him, because they were going the wrong direction. And so, God's word, God's law, God's will, but God in His mercy had teachers not hidden in a corner. God in His mercy, in His goodness, spoke to them. In Elijah's case, there's a man. He needed God to speak to him. He was discouraged. He was downtrodden. He needed a word from the Lord. He was so discouraged. He was also, as you know, wrong. And so again, God in His mercy comes and He speaks. And in the coming months, There are going to be many, many times that God is going to speak to you. After all sheep need the voice of the shepherd. But remember the still, small voice. Remember the voices of the prophets that were simply being read out loud and the law each Sabbath day. This is the voice of the shepherd, not a visual, not a vision, not an epiphany of the shepherd. It's the voice of the shepherd. In verse 21 of Isaiah 30, again, thine ear shall hear a word behind thee saying. In other words, since the voice is coming from behind, the speaker, that is God himself, isn't presently seen. Think again about how God spoke to Elijah. Was he in the mighty wind? Was he in the great earthquake? Was he in the blazing fire? He was in a still, small voice. The emphasis is always on the voice. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to expect, and I hope that you expect, that this is how God is speaking to you tonight, and this is how God will speak to you in the days ahead, and the weeks ahead, and the months ahead. Here's a believer in 2016, the rest of it, 2017, on his Christian journey. And as a believer in Christ, everybody in this room who's saved, you have some supernatural voices. You have the voice of the Holy Spirit who speaks through the very Word of God, both supernatural. And of course, God is going to speak to you throughout this year various messages that you and I need to hear. You know how he's going to do that? Well, you know, you're like a lot of modern day Christians. You're going to look for all kinds of signs and wonders and miracles. You're going to look for some great, mighty thing. You want to expect, hopefully, to see an epiphany, a vision, a word of knowledge, a loudness that comes to you and smacks you along. But here's the problem. You already have. See, a word of knowledge. You have a book of knowledge that is inspired word for word, and it is perfect. If you really want to know how God is going to speak to you in the coming months, in the coming new year, it's not going to be by an earthquake. It won't be by a hurricane or fire or lightning, almost certainly. But he will come from behind, as it were. And he will speak into your ear, as it were. In a still, small voice, the voice that the Holy Spirit speaks through the pages of this book. And he says to you, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God. It is a voice that will say to you, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a voice behind you that says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. It's a voice that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. It is a voice that says, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's a voice that says, be strong and of a good courage, and on and on and on it goes. You see, what our flesh wants, what the flesh always wants, is to be guided by feelings. People don't want a still small voice. They want a fireworks display. It's sort of like Naaman of old. Remember when he had leprosy and he was dying and he was going to die, and he got a word from God as to what to do. And do you realize that instead of doing what he was told from the Word of God, he wanted something big? It's amazing that he was told that he was going to be healed, but he was disappointed in the way the healing was going to come about. It wasn't big enough. It wasn't fancy enough. It's not a wind. It's not an earthquake. It's not a fire. It's just the voice of God. And so, what Elijah needed was not to see God for inspiration. Look, folks, he had already seen fire come down from heaven, and he's still discouraged. He needed instead to hear God for direction. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Well, then how do you get it? Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As a pastor here now in my 30th year, I've noticed some Christians do not get the direction that they need in their Christian life. And you know what that is? They're waiting. These are the types of believers that are always waiting for God to show them something when he has already mercifully told them something. What we ought to do is listen And then when we hear it, trust what he says. He's behind us speaking. Is that the impression of the scripture? It's a still small voice. We can't see him. There's no great sign and so forth. So what, beloved? He can see us. Which is better? The assurance that you can see God, or the assurance that God sees you and speaks to you? Because the latter is the assurance that you have. You know, the Lord Jesus said that an adulterous and wicked generation seeketh after a sign, right? And by the way, that's the same group, crowd, that we just read about in Acts chapter 13. He said an adulterous, wicked generation seeketh after a sign. Do you know why that is? Because they don't trust, they want to see something because they don't trust what he's already said. Essentially, they're saying that they'd rather have the fire and the wind than to have the Bible and the Spirit and the voice of God. Don't expect to see this message. Expect to hear it. Don't expect to come to church and just something just necessarily every time gives you chills. It's just me. And it's just Brother Terry leading the singing. And it's just our greeters out there shaking your hands. And it's just our choir. And it's just Maria playing the piano once in a blue moon, right, Maria? Don't expect to be entertained. Which brings you to a second idea. Obey the voice of God when you hear it. Now, I know that's deep, intense. You're in Isaiah, right? Look at verse 21 again. And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Turn to the right hand or the left. In other words, you know, when God came to Elijah in the still small voice, do you know what the first word out of his mouth was? It was two letters. And it spelled the word go. The first thing that God said to Elijah is go. That still small voice was a voice of instruction. And when God finished speaking, the first thing that it says about Elijah is found in two words. He departed. Go, he departed. Remember, our Lord didn't simply say, my sheep hear my voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice and what? They follow me. In other words, they do what I say. A fellow said to me a few years ago, he said, well, preacher, God speaks to me in the woods when I'm hunting just as much as he does when I'm in church on Sunday. And I said, then why don't you listen to him in the woods? He said, what do you mean? I said, because in the woods, he's telling you, get to church. You're a slacker or whatever. Right? Look at verse 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. Thine eyes shall see thy teachers. What does that mean? You may not see God, but you'll see God's servants. God has given to the church. You know, I mentioned a moment ago that being here for almost 30 years now, suppose in those 30 years between Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, a week's time between all of those services, all of the great guest speakers we've had, and also in your own daily Bible reading, suppose you learn one truth a week. I'm not even talking about one for every message and all every day in your Bible reading, but just one a week. One step of obedience. A voice behind you, telling you how to go higher. Just one. 52 steps a year. Well, in these 30 years, that'd be nearly 1,600. If it was just one. 1,600 steps of obedience. No visions. No epiphanies. No special revelations. No signs or wonders. Just spiritual growth and knowing and obeying God. Remember, folks, the voice of God in the New Testament is likened unto this: milk, bread, and meat. It's not exciting. That's not exactly sushi, truffles, and caviar. Right? It's milk, bread, and meat. 1 Peter 2:2 says, desire the sincere, which is simple, sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. What happens to a Christian who comes to church and they're around the milk? They're amongst the meat, but you don't desire it. You don't want it. In other words, going to a meal, folks, and admiring the food It's not going to do anything for you. Critiquing the food. I'm out here and I'm going to see if Brother Josh preached this sermon last year. I'm going to see if he added anything different. I'm going to see if he felt like he's been studying out in the sugar canes, messing around. I'm going to see. That's critiquing. What is that going to do for you? If you go to a restaurant and you're just there critiquing the food without partaking of the food, or you're handling the food even, maybe you even help prepare the food. Being around the food doesn't do a single thing for you. If you didn't come with a desire for it. Let me remind you that that text in 1 Peter doesn't say, desire the sincere milk of the word. It says, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word. What does it mean? Well, have you ever seen a newborn who's hungry? A newborn who's hungry at 2 a.m. or whenever, they don't say, pray tell, could someone bring me a bottle, please? Right? They go, ah! They have a desire. Because they need it. So that's why the Holy Spirit says, as newborn babies. They need it because they want it because they need it. That's desire. And would to God that we would come to church with that kind of desire and hunger and thirst. I mean, these people miss the voices of the prophets, even though they were there. You know, this generation, Jesus said, seeketh after a sign. Milk, bread, meat, it's not a sign. To some people, boring. So in many ways, so does this generation. Seek after a sign. Milk, bread, meat. Pastor, I after 4 years of searching, I'm still looking. I haven't found a church that's relevant, fulfilling, stimulating, mind-blowing. See, for some folks, a church is supposed to have lots of excitement and fun and pleasure. And I've noticed that when parents have that attitude, their children have that attitude. And as soon as their children are 18, they don't want to go to church anymore. They want to go to a rock show somewhere, but they want to go to church. Church is a place for them to, you know, win contests and dance and be entertained. It's a place to schmooze. It's supposed to meet my needs, my desires, my tastes. And that's what a lot of churches are doing. They're gearing their services to meet people's felt needs, not their spiritual needs. I saw a brochure the other day. I mean, these brochures are amazing, but this one the other day said, come to some church, you'll leave with a buzz. And that's not a buzz cut. That's drug culture talk, right? You're going to leave with a buzz? Well, then go to the bowling alley and hang out with those guys. Because it's just as much a church. Pastor, are you saying that church ought to be exciting? You know what? That depends. If you think that the Word of God that can change your life and other people's lives for the good and for eternity is exciting, then church should be exciting. If you think knowing Christ and learning about Him is exciting, then church should be exciting. If you think that people getting saved and lives being changed is exciting, then church should be exciting. If you think that singing Christ-honoring hymns that speak the truth about God is exciting, then church should be exciting. If you think the voices of the prophets and the law of God is exciting, then church should be exciting. But if you think that carnivals and circuses and rock concerts are exciting, then no, that's really not what church is all about. The Bible says that on the Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue, quote, here's what it says in the Gospels, quote, as he was wont. Literally meaning, as was usual. In other words, from childhood, Jesus always was faithful to attend a church, or what we would call church. And you know, all they did in those days, as he grew up in that local synagogue, was sing, a cappella no less, and then read and speak from the Old Testament scriptures. It's not a place of just amusement. It's not a place of entertainment and circuses. Primarily, because it's not about us. I want to find a place where it's not about us. It's about Him. And some people, when they open their Bibles, or when they come to a church service or a Wednesday night Bible study, they come to learn about Him. They come to please Him. They come to worship Him. They come to serve Him. and in thus doing embrace His will for their lives. And I can assure you tonight that that is the difference between those who find that victorious Christian living and those whose lives are broken and shattered. God speaks today. And tomorrow, if you'll be listening, He'll speak to you again. And the next day, and the next day, He will say to you, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." I'm sure tonight that tomorrow and this week and throughout the rest of this year, this still small voice of God's Spirit is going to whisper in your ear. And it will whisper a message to you about faithfulness, about your children or your grandchildren, about kindness or forgiveness or honesty or prayer or giving or serving others or studying or witnessing to the lost. May not shout. You may not hear His voice over the din of a television set or the clanging sounds of gossip. You may not hear Him in the midst of a loud nightclub or a ball game, but you will hear Him in a church service if you sincerely desire the Word of God. You will hear Him in your prayer closet or your Bible reading. You might hear Him in the quiet of a hospital bed or in a cave of discouragement. In some cases, you'll hear the voice behind you while eating the bread of adversity, as we read a moment ago, or drinking the waters of affliction. So don't expect some show for the flesh. Expect to hear His voice and then decide to make decisions. Follow the decisions from that voice. And then let me say one more thing. Not only desire it, but come always when you sit at home and you open up the Bible and it's your Bible time, or you walk in these doors and there's a guest speaker or your pastor or someone who's preaching the Word of God, always come with expectation. Don't come just taking your time card and click. When I was a welder, we would just take our time card and start my shift. Then it was 6 a.m. done with my shift. This is not a job. Come with expectation. Verse 21, as we noted, says, "Thine ears shall hear." You know why? It's not because these people were wonderful. In Elijah's case, of course, he didn't hear God because he was on a mountaintop. He was down in a valley. He was discouraged. He was somewhat disobedient. God speaks in His mercy. Just as God quietly spoke to the woman at the well, she wasn't looking for it that day. Just as God spoke to 3 men in the road of Emmaus, just as God spoke to Gideon in a wine press, just as God spoke to an Ethiopian in a desert, God is gracious when He speaks. But if you come expecting, you shall hear a voice. You shall hear His word. And it may be from behind you, but expect it and listen for it. Come to church, come wherever, open the pages of Scripture. As the proverb says, incline thine ear. Jesus said what? He that hath an ear to hear, incline thine ear. Because God is going to speak to you this week. You know, if I were to tell you tonight that this coming Sunday, if I were to announce and put it in the paper, guest speaker, Beacon Baptist Church, Tom Brady. Well, you'd be here, brother. I know you would, Brother Jim. Tom Brady's going to be here, or Tom Hanks, or Donald Trump. I know what we would have the place full and overflowing. Not with sheep necessarily, with goats. Because people love to hear from earthquakes and fires and hurricanes. Some people pay big bucks, a lot of money, to go hear Hillary Clinton on Wall Street give a speech. Which is greater? A great wind from a man. People walk away and say, "Oh, that was so good. Wasn't that good? He's amazing." Great wind from a woman, or the still small voice from God. A voice that may come from behind you, but it says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." I'd rather hear that from God, "This is the way, walk ye in it," than to hear Tony Robbins tell me how to become a millionaire. Expect that God will speak to you in these coming days. In fact, expect this very week that when you open His Word and when you hear His Word, expect that God has something just for you. You know, I mentioned how I come down here and I sit. And this past week, every time we've had someone, I sit there and I'm convicted. Sometimes I'm encouraged in exactly the way I need to be, because I come expecting it. And there are great speakers. Dr. Sisk, to me, is a great speaker. And there are young novice speakers, which we had. But I'm still expecting that God has something for me from them. This past Sunday, as many of you know, man who sits right there every single Sunday morning, sat there, went to lunch, but Sam saw him at lunch. And he told Brother Sam, that message from that guest speaker I needed, Dr. Sisk. A few hours later, he was murdered. Sits right there, just down the road. You know, if you think about it, and I thought about this because he said, I needed that message. That message that Brother Sisk spoke. He told Brother Sam, I needed that. Do you think he knew for a moment that'd be the last message he would ever hear on this earth? Nobody knows that. But he was listening. And he said God spoke to him. And so you listen. And you open your heart when you open up His Word. And be blessed by the still, small voice. And don't let the world, and don't let worldly people convince you that it has to be something outside of the whole counsel of God. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for Your Word. We are grateful each and every time as I look back on my own life, my little local church there in Hope Mills, North Carolina, as a new convert and a bus kid. As I look back on all the camps that I attended, and even those late night messages in high school, listening to that great radio preacher, and all the times, Father, that people ministered to my heart. I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And I pray we will recognize that You speak to us through Your Word. May we incline our ear so that when we hear that still, small voice encouraging us or convicting us, Lord, telling us this is the way, walk in it, to the right hand or the left, we listen and hear and follow the voice of our shepherd. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.